leaders who are being challenged. And so let us pray for those senators. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we lift up President Trump and his wife and all the cabinet members and those who have now been tested and some have been found positive of this virus. Lord, we believe you to arrest this virus throughout the world. Voting for the president in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Not long ago, I was at a Second Amendment rally. I had been asked to speak and sing. And so as we were waiting for the national anthem, they announced that the person who was going to sing the national anthem wasn't able to come, so they were going to play it. And I stood up immediately and walked over to the podium and said to the moderator, "I can do that." And they said, we thought you only sang hymns, spiritual songs. I said, "No, I can do the national anthem." And so before I sang, I told them about President Eisenhower reading it over the radio in 1954 when Congress had mandated one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, in that allegiance. And so sang the national anthem, and it wasn't long until many people, there was over 2,000 at this gathering, and they were there for Second Amendment support. And I was honored to be there. So not only to speak, but to sing as well and to share about the national anthem. So this morning, what we're going to do is just sing some old hymns. And you sing along with me. We're going to glorify the Lord. We have some scripture to read. And I want to begin singing by singing In the Garden and Supper Time. Sing along with me. Yes. Amen. Oh, I like that track.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Know this, sing along with me.
He speaks and the sound of his voice birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gives to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I love singing Supper Time. It's an old one. Yes, it is a good one.
Many years ago in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, and winding down an old familiar pathway, my mother called at set of sun. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready in heaven. It's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. In heaven, it's supper time at last.
I chose those two songs because they mean a lot to me. And I believe that when you hear what I'm going to say about those two songs, they're going to mean even more to you. My mom loved her flowers. She would plant flowers and she would tend to those flowers. She would talk to those flowers. She would pray for those flowers. And every now and again, she would have a perennial that didn't want to just come back every year and do what it's supposed to do. And if I showed up at home or if I was talking to her on the phone, the conversation would be like this. Jean, I need you to come in and help me get radical around the roots. And I remember this one time, it was about that rhododendron that had been planted. And I was troubled because Mom was troubled that those who helped her plant it didn't plant it in the right place for the sun and for the water. And it just wouldn't come back continually and do what it was supposed to do. So I said, Mom, I'm coming in. I'll be preaching in the area. How about I stay with you and we'll deal with that rhododendron? And so the second evening, she said, are you going to be up to it tomorrow? I don't want to overwork you now. And my mom was 5 feet. She wore a size 4. But she was a coal miner's wife. And Dad said she was the best cook in the holler in the coal mining camp. And Mom would say, oh, he's just talking. But I had 3 brothers. And Dad said one time, you know, not one of them is a dumbbell. So the 4 boys would have different activities going on. But then she would say, Gene, help me. Because now everybody's gone. Everybody has their own families. But I'm staying with her. And I had promised I would do it. And so we busily got out there and we dug around the roots of that rhododendron. She said, now you go in the house and you get me that knife. I forgot that big butcher knife. It's an old knife, but my brother keeps it sharp for me. And I'm going to get radical with these roots and it's going to do what it's supposed to do. And so she cut around the roots and she said, now let's take some better dirt and put in on it. A little bit of food, as she called it, fertilizer on it. Watered it really good and soaked it good before we put the finished touch on it. And she said, now, in the name of Jesus, grow. Now, I tell you the whole story because I learned a big lesson there. You know what the Bible talks about? Pruning. The Bible talks about a tree that doesn't produce. Now, if you plant an orange, what do you get? You get oranges. If you plant corn, what do you get? You get corn. It only takes a few kernels of corn or just a couple of seeds to bring forth after its kind. And in the New Testament, there is an illustration for us of the vine and the branches. And if we are connected to Him, and I think everybody here that on this day is connected to Jesus. You are the branches. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. I believe it's John 15, around verse number 7. I believe God, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If my word abides in you, and we abide in Him, and His word abides in us, and we ask what we will, and it shall be given unto us. Now, what happens if the vines do not produce? He trims them. It's called pruning. A person said to me, I was hunting with them, small game, and he said, look at that big tree. And it fell during the storm. I said, God has His own way of cleaning the forest or purging the trees. I've got some apple trees, and they don't always produce like they should. And you get radical with those limbs that are not producing and cause those limbs to grow the way they're supposed to, and the next time you're going to have a better harvest. And that's what needs to be done with many in the church world today. They need to understand the seriousness of pruning so that we can be more productive with the fruit. Now, a little later, I'm going to talk to you about some things that the Lord would have us to do when we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. As with Moses in the book of Exodus, and the children of Israel were being chased by Pharaoh and his army. What happened? God said, tell the people, stand still. What else happened? God told him, take the rod in your hand and you part the waters. And you take your authority in Jesus' name. As children of the Most High God, you have authority. I believe with all of my heart. I tell you one authority I have to have when I come here to the Church of the King. You have a donut ministry here. You have a pastry ministry here. Not only do you get a cup of coffee or a bottle of water or some hot tea, but you have some of the best donuts I've ever seen in my life, and I have to come against that spirit that gets all just raises up inside me. And a brother saw me this morning back there, and I was wrapping one up carefully because I knew I had a Ziploc in the car. And he saw me and he said, you're doing what I do. I'm putting one in my truck so when I go, I've got it. And I said, yeah, I've got a long ways to drive. And this is a good ministry here. I love the global explosion. I love the global outreach. I love the Hebraic teachings of your Pastor Butch. And let me tell you, it's a great family here. That's a family of God. And in the book of Ephesians, we hear something that I want to read here, beginning about number 15 in the fifth chapter, verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yes. Hear this now, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, yes, to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things of God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man when you go over into that Old Testament and begin to study the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God. I'm going to cover some of these things, some of these thoughts in a minute, but I want to sing God's Going to See You Through. If there's a message for America, if there's a message for our president, if there's a message for your pastor, if there's a message for those who are sick or those who are in lack, those who are in need, let me tell you something now. God is going to see you through. Mike Murdoch wrote it, and I love to sing it. Let me sing it, brother. Praise you, Jesus. I said, God is gonna see you through. I know God is gonna see you through. Through the flood, through the fire, through your storms and through your trials, God is gonna see you through. God is gonna see you through. I know God is sure to see it through. Through the flood, through the fire, through your storms and through your trials, God is sure to see it through. You don't have a question God can't answer. You don't have a mountain God can't move. So get ready for your miracle, 'cause God's gonna find a way to get it to you. I said God is gonna see you through. I know God is gonna see you through. Through the flood, through the fire, through the storms and through your trials, God
go to sea with you.
Hallelujah. You don't have a doubt God can't conquer. You won't fight a battle God can't win. So rise up today, be strong in your faith, 'cause God is bringing victory again. I said God,
gonna see you through.
I know He will. God,
gonna see you
through. Through the flood, through the fire, through your storms and through your trials, God, gonna see you through somehow, some way. God, gonna see you through. God, gonna see you through. Through the flood, through the fire, through your storms and through your trials, God, gonna see you through somehow, some way. God, gonna see you through, I know He will. God, gonna see you through. He'll see you through. I tell you, that's what the liberal media needs to be putting out on the airways instead of trying to figure out the fire in the West, the floods, the tornadoes, the hurricanes in the South. You know, it's like the President Trump is giving God credit. The liberal media don't want to give God any credit. We've inserted one nation under God in the allegiance, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now some of the Congress and senators say they don't want that in there. They want to take it out. The problem with America today is we've taken too much out of what the founding fathers intended for us to be established upon. Now, I had said I wasn't going to try to preach, but these songs pull it out of me. These people here in Ironton pull it out of me.
Yeah.
I had to pray for my GPS.
What?
It had me down by the new bridge and told me, "You're at the Church of the King." I thought, that's not right. And something said, "You better call Brother Terry. He'll tell you how close you are." And I said, "In the name of Jesus." And I slapped the dashboard. And I hit my GPS on my phone. And then it told me which street to turn on. And when I got here, it said, "You have arrived." Well, I said, "I knew I wasn't there at the bridge." And that's the way it is with the liberal media anymore. They didn't say a thing about the faith and the prayer march, hello, that had thousands of people. When Franklin Graham was led of the Lord to do this, we didn't know it was going to coincide. But now there is a replacement to be had on the Supreme Court. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg went to be with her maker.
Yeah, thank you.
And therefore, there is a vacancy left.
Yeah.
And what's going on is the liberals are about to have a heart attack or a stroke, knowing that this could really give us a majority in the Supreme Court. And I say us because I am pro-life.
I am. Amen.
And I believe in keeping God.
Amen.
And following God.
Amen.
Well, I'm gonna sing again in just a minute, but let's look at this scripture in Ephesians and hear what he says to the church. That in the sixth chapter, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What? Are we there yet? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And he identifies the armor. And then he says, as you take it up, you withstand in the evil day. You're able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand, therefore. Have you ever seen military guards around a coffin of a service person who has gone to be with the Lord, given that ultimate sacrifice? And they're standing there at attention. And they're standing there. And you wonder how they could stand for so long. They've been trained. They've been taught. And they've been drilled until it's within them that this is my duty to pay this respect for that person when I'm called upon. Nothing touched my heart more than when I had attended a funeral service outside of Norfolk, Virginia, when a cousin who was in the police department had lost his life, and we took his aunt, my mother-in-law, and we went to pay our respects from Pennsylvania to the coastal waters of Virginia. And the fire department had the ladders extended and flags draped from the ladders. What a sight to see. I don't know how you pay respect here, but I'll tell you, that just caused my heart to leap with much respect for this person whose life had been taken and is now being missed by the comrades. And so the police department were there. And because he had served in Vietnam and had served in service, when we got to the cemetery, not only did we see all of that I have already described, but there came overhead helicopters, less one, in a flyby, paying respect for one who is now fallen. Where is that respect today? We need men and women in office who respect the Constitution instead of trying to rewrite it and trying to tear it down. We need men and women in office instead of allowing statues of those who are in our history books, tearing them down because they don't understand why you would have a statue like that. If we could teach the children, as I was taught in school, you respect those founding fathers. So you may not have agreed with everything that they said, but I'm here to tell you now, we wouldn't be the strong nation that we are if you rip God out of it and you take the Bible out of it and you take the prayer out of it. It makes us a stronger nation. So he describes for us the whole armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the breastplate of righteousness. And shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and application for all the saints. Paul said, for him, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God, or of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Having done all, stand. Moses said to the children of Israel, you stand still, and this day you'll see the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord means deliverance. It means that you have won the battle. And what happened? The waters parted. But not until Moses was willing to take the rod and smote the waters. Then they parted. You part the waters. You have that authority. I remember not long ago, a friend called me and said, I needed to get a hold of you, Brother Kennett, because you need to pray. I said, well, go ahead and tell me what the request is. Well, the request is this. And I said, have you already prayed? Well, no, I thought I would get a hold of you and you'd pray as pastor. Hello, what's wrong with this scene? The first thing you do is not call the pastor, but is call on God. Amen. Call Pastor Jesus. Amen. And when pastor was notified, he prayed. And then he called the prayer partners and the prayer warriors. And some people call it a prayer chain. And one calls another. And now you put it on social media. And it's going around the world. Brother Terry, I was in one of my services not long ago. And it was on Facebook. And we copied the page. I didn't know you could copy it and put it on my page. And next thing I knew, I get this message. And it said, are you the Gene Kennett that sang He Touched Me in Richmond, Virginia over 50 years ago? I said, I'm still singing He Touched Me. And here's what he said. He gave me his name, but here's what's more important than that we have reconnected. He said, I was in service. I was stationed in Richmond area. All I heard about was this revival that was going on in this church. It had gone on more than a few weeks, and I kept hearing about the miracles. And he said, and then I knew the heart of mine needed this ministry. And I made my way as a serviceman to one of the services, and I've never been the same. He said, Jesus came into my heart and life, and we're now friends. And I've seen a lot of his friends that he knew, and we're reliving those days. It was a 15-week revival in a local church. And it went on from 15 weeks. Blind eyes were opened. Crippled limbs were healed. God was delivering and casting out devils and filling with the Holy Spirit. The young people were in revival. And then a tent was purchased by a businessman. And five more weeks in the tent meeting. And then it consummated in the Richmond City Arena. Several churches helped sponsor. And I was part of that revival as a servant of God who dared to believe that God could use a teenager even in the midst of a storm. Am I still singing Because He Lives? Am I still singing How Great Thou Art? Am I still singing? I said to a friend of mine the other day, I'm breathing. You can be assured as long as Gene Kennett's breathing, he's going to be singing to the glory of God. Well, I said I wasn't going to preach, Brother Terry. It's your fault. I love coming to this church, and I want to sing There's a Reason for It All. Brother Murdoch wrote it, and I love to sing it. Would be the next one on that track. My Father is a master designer, far beyond what human eyes can see. The beauty of all the mountains, the fragrance of a rose, and yes, even you and me, and to everything there's a time, a season. We have the spring, summer, winter, the fall, and behind every situation, God has a reason for it all. There's a reason for it all. There's a reason for it all. In every storm, you'll see God's hand. He has a reason, a master plan. There's a reason for it all. God has a reason for it all. There's a reason for it all. In every storm, you'll see God's mighty hand. He has a reason, a master plan. There's a reason for it all. In every storm, you'll see God's mighty hand. He has a reason, a reason, a reason, a master plan. There's a reason for it all. He does have a reason. Hallelujah. Well, before somebody tells me that I didn't finish about my mother, let me go back and talk with you about that supper time song. My grandmother and my granddad loved that. But here's the way it went with my mother. When she would finish baking loaf bread or the big homemade light rolls or those cat head biscuits, my mother would take from the oven, especially the loaf bread, and she would just rub butter all over it, top of it, and she'd wrap it in wax paper, and then she'd put a towel around it, and she would gently hand it to me. You see, we lived three houses from where Grandpa's farm was and the farmhouse was. Although he was a coal miner, he was also a West Virginia farmer. You know, he had a mule. he had a plow horse. But he loved his daughter's baking. And she would say, "Now, Gene, go as quick as you can, but please do not fall or stumble. Grandpa likes this bread while it's still warm from the oven." And I would get there, and Grandma would say, now, Grandma wore one of those long aprons. It covered her front, it covered her legs, went all the way down, covering where her dress would be, and round her ankle. And she's taken her finger and she's pulling the edge of that apron up, and she said, "Lord, Gene, is that fresh bread from your mother?" "Yes, it is." "Oh, you know Grandpa's going to need some of that right now. I better take the bread and put it here, and you go tell Grandpa and he knows what to do." And he came in and he started with his knife and he began to cut the first slice. And then he cut another slice. He said, oh, there's nothing better than this kind of homemade bread to praise God with. He'd take a bite of that bread and then he'd say, I'm going to have some jam on it. Or apple butter on it. And I'd get that apple butter all over me as we're eating that bread that while it's still warm. And I have those memories. These are precious memories for me. They help to mold me and shape me. I would often show up at Grandma's house as a little boy and she'd be reading that Bible. Not only would she be baking and cooking, but she'd be reading the Bible. And more times than not, Grandpa would say, Gene, you have a little song you want to sing for us? And back then, it was a little song. It was some kind of a chorus we were singing at church, you know. And I love these memories. You didn't go away from there sad. You went away from there glad that Grandpa and Grandma liked Mom's bread and that they would praise God for it and they would give thanks for it. I remember those precious, precious memories. I've got several more songs, but I really feel that this is how the Holy Spirit would have me. I want to sing Everything It Touches Blessed, which is the next song in the cycle, Brother Terry. And then I want to pray for everybody before we dismiss. All right? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. This was written by Mike Murdoch also. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything it touches, blessed. My health, my friends and family, the work of my hands continually. In everything, prosperity. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything it touches, blessed. I help my friends and family, the work of my hands continually. In everything, prosperity. Everything it touches, blessed. When I walk in obedience to the voice of the Lord, every good and perfect gift He promised as reward. Anywhere I go and everywhere I live, His blessings overtake me. His very best He gives. Everything it touches, blessed. Hallelujah. Everything it touches, blessed. I help my friends and family, the work of my hands continually. In everything, prosperity. Everything it touches, blessed. Listen to the Spirit. Do what He tells you to do. All of these same blessings shall overtake you too. You see, every seed you sow will soon be multiplied. God is the God of blessings. He's the source of your supply. Everything that touches, blessed. Everything that touches, blessed. My health, my friends and family, the work of my hands continually. Everything, prosperity. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything it touches, blessed. I help my friends and family, the work of my hands continually. And everything, prosperity. Everything it touches, blessed. Everything I touch. Everything I touch. I don't care if it's writing a letter to somebody that you haven't seen in a while, sending them an email, put a message on Messenger, letting them know that you're concerned, letting them know that you're praying for them, letting them know that greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. Just being kind and smiling at them. Everything I touch is blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand with me. You got something to do here.
We got also the offering.
All right, all right. Everything. You like that, brother? I've got that on a recording. I've got I laid out some CDs that it's a double CD. In other words, it has 20 songs on it instead of just 10. So and it'll be me singing the same tracks you heard here. All right. Flow, your mind's going to be sharper. It's not going to be like I forgot something, but it's going to be sharper, and your lungs are going to be stronger. Hallelujah. And I don't know about your legs, but every now and again I sit too long and I get up and I want to start moving around. You know, I know there's a lot of people that think I'm a little bit younger than what I really am, but I'm here to tell you this now: that blood's going to flow in those legs, and that soreness and those cramps, in Jesus' name, be healed. Walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know who it is in this congregation that needs this, but you have sown a lot of seed in your lifetime. I don't want you to be worried about whether it's being used to the glory of God. You be concerned about you were obedient as an obedient child of God doing what you did. Mm-hmm. I see paperwork being shuffled. I see legal papers being taken care of. And the Bible says good marriages are pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men and women give back into your bosom. So you have poured it into the kingdom of God. God's going to pour it into you. Just suffice it to be in Jesus' name. He is a way maker. I speak a word of prophecy to your pastor. Because he has opened doors for many, God opens more doors for you. Because he has helped you to help others, the Lord is going to pour forth his strength and his wisdom beyond measure upon you and within you. And those who would attack you and those who would come against you must know no weapon formed against you, Pastor Butch, will prosper. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, if somebody will tell me to dismiss, I'll do that. I just feel like this has been a wonderful, completed service. Amen. And we'll leave from here and we'll go from here knowing that the Lord has spoken. I'll be careful, brother. I put those angels on assignment. On the right wheel in the front and the right wheel in the back and the left wheel in the front and the left wheel in the back. And you'll give me energy and keep my eyes alert.
How long
the drive? It's a little better than 5 hours. Well, you know.